You are Locked On Clippers, your daily Los Angeles Clippers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey everyone, welcome to a new episode of the Locked On Clippers podcast. I'm your host, Lucas Hand. Today is Wednesday, February 22nd. It is actually our first episode of the week, although we're at the midpoint. We'll be back tomorrow and Friday with two more new episodes, and then hopefully next week we'll have a full slate Monday through Friday as per usual. I know that we missed the last few episodes. I am sorry about that. I got some messages on Twitter. I tried to respond to everyone, but if I didn't respond to you, I'm sorry. I'm sorry if you were, or maybe if you didn't tweet at me and you were just wondering where the show was, I'm sorry that I didn't give a little bit of heads up. I wasn't anticipating canceling those episodes, but, I had mentioned, in the episodes last week, we had a big snowstorm here in New York. And I had classes canceled, and I had, was dealing with stuff around my house with the snowstorm. And then having all those classes pushed back into this week meant I ended up with, a bunch of exams and papers due at the beginning of this week. And I just had to kind of prioritize. I do really enjoy doing this podcast, but, sometimes you gotta prioritize a little bit when it comes to things that you need to do and things that you enjoy. But that's that. Now we're back, which is good. So thanks for, for your patience. And, I am sorry that we didn't have those episodes. But now we can kind of talk about what the Clippers did while I was gone. And maybe you're cursing my name for coming back with a new episode. Because since I canceled the Friday episode, the Clippers had a blowout win. They played on Saturday. They played two nights ago, they played last night. They had a blowout win in every single one of those games. And now I'm back, and so maybe the Clippers are going to lay an egg in Dallas. I don't know. The first game on Saturday against the Cleveland Cavaliers, the Clippers won 108-78. Wasn't super impressive. LeBron James, Kyrie Irving, Kevin Love all missed the game. Kyle Korver sat out the game as well. And there's not much there when you take away those guys. They did have seven players in double figures, but their leading scorer scored 12. They finished with only 78 points. The Clippers, Blake Griffin had 23 points, DeAndre Jordan 13 points, 17 rebounds, Jamal Crawford added 13 off the bench. But the Clippers kind of played disinterested early on in the game. Then they came out and, put the hammer down in the second quarter and kind of coasted. But hey, it's a win. You'll take, a lot of people were complaining after this game because the Clippers still weren't sharp. They weren't themselves, if you will. But in my book, you get a 30-point win. You don't have to be impressed because it was against Cleveland sitting all their guys, but you shouldn't really complain. You take the 30-point win. Then the Clippers went on to host the New York Knicks, which is another game they won easily. They only ended up winning by 9, actually, but that was because in garbage time in the fourth quarter, which was the entire fourth quarter, the Clippers were outscored by 16. So they actually carried a 25-point lead into that fourth quarter, and then, just some bench laziness. One thing that I think can be tricky for people to understand is that for a guy like Austin Rivers or Jamal Crawford, who's a big-time second-unit player, they come in with maybe 3 or 4 minutes left in the third quarter at their normal sub time, but then they never come back out. So those guys are playing 14, 15, 16 minutes of consecutive basketball, up 30 points the entire time with none of it mattering. And so it can be really hard to stay engaged in garbage time anyway when you're, a veteran and not like a young guy or an end of rotation guy trying to scrap for minutes. But then even furthermore, when you get to the end of the fourth quarter and you start getting tired because you've been out there for the entire quarter and none of it's mattered the entire quarter. So nothing, not gonna hold too much against those guys because they didn't blow the lead. They just made the margin of victory less impressive. Blake Griffin was tremendous in that game. He had a easy 30 points on 12 of 19 shooting. Chris Paul kind of started to get his groove back. 13 points, 13 assists on 5 of 11 shooting. And then In last night's game against the Lakers, we saw Chris Paul really get going, as well as J.J. Redick. Chris was 9 of 15 from the field, 4 of 8 from deep, 27 points, 8 rebounds, 4 assists. And J.J. Redick was 7 of 9 from the field, 4 of 5 from deep, 24 points in just 18 minutes. Blake Griffin actually didn't have a great game against the Lakers, but it was almost a laugher from the beginning. I think the Clippers went up 11-2, and it wasn't much closer than that. After that point, they were, I think, at one point up by as much as 36 points. They end up winning by 24. Again, you know, garbage time will get you. The Lakers won the fourth quarter by 10 points. But, yeah, you know, the Clippers actually looked good. The defense looked good until they kind of stopped caring in the second half. And I know people want to jump all over the team for being lethargic, you know, for not having a second half that was as impressive as the first half and winning, you know, 140-80, which maybe they could have done if they'd really pushed themselves. But the truth is, when you're up 70-40 at halftime, you take your foot off the gas a little bit. And there is the one in a million game where it bites you in the ass, but it's hard to not do that, especially when you're a veteran team where the Clippers are at this point in the season, you know, trying to get rest. They probably felt very good that they were able to build that 30-point lead in the first half and then really limit their minutes. For bench guys to be leading the team in minutes while Blake Griffin plays 26 minutes, Chris Paul plays 25, DeAndre Jordan plays 23, that's great news. Because it's almost like the Clippers got a half night of rest against the Lakers. And if you get games like that where you can sit your starters the entire fourth quarter, which is what the Clippers have been doing recently, then maybe you don't rest them in Dallas on Thursday, which is something that the Clippers had been considering. We haven't heard the final word yet. And if you don't have to rest them in Dallas, your chance of winning that game increase, and that's good for you, you know, long-term, trying to fight for seeding, just building momentum in general. So definitely, you know, all good stuff to be able to win in a blowout like that. The Clippers actually had 8 players in double figures. Brandon Bass came off the bench and had 10 points. Mo Spates had 10 points and 7 rebounds in 19 minutes, which was really productive for him. Jamal Crawford actually had 15 points, moving him up on the all-time scoring list. He jumped like 2 or 3 guys last night, and he's actually just 1 point beneath San Diego Clippers legend World Be Free. So if he makes a free throw, he'll tie World Be Free. You know, if he makes any 2-point or 3-point field goal, he will move ahead of World Be Free. So that's actually, you know, if you're a lifer, like I know some Clippers fans that I talked to have been following the team since San Diego. You know, their kids, team comes to San Diego, and then team moves to Los Angeles, and they just keep being fans. If that's you, then, you know, that might be kind of a cool moment to have a current Clipper passing World Be Free. Now, what I want to get into in the second part of this episode is just an overall look, because, you know, we haven't talked in almost a week about the Clippers' remaining schedule and the standings that are coming up. So the Clippers actually have a very, very friendly remaining schedule. Of their 10 games, 7 are at home, and a lot are against lottery teams. And, you know, tickets can get expensive in the playoffs, so if you want to catch one of these home games before the season ends, buying tickets online for sports and concerts has been a confusing process for a long time. And it's always been hard to find the best deal for the game or show that you want to go to, and none of those older ticket sites want to change that, but SeatGeek is different. They've come along and created an amazing app and website that makes it easier than ever for fans to buy and sell tickets. SeatGeek is always the first place I go to look for games or for tickets to a game or concert. Everything about SeatGeek is designed to make life easier for sports and music fans. SeatGeek does all the price comparison for you by searching multiple ticket sites and ensuring that you get the best possible deal. SeatGeek does all the work and you save time and money. And SeatGeek wants to help you get the most bang for your buck. That's why every ticket on SeatGeek is given a grade based on value. You'll immediately see any underpriced seats and be able to find the best deals that fit your budget. Best of all is that my listeners get a $20 rebate off their first SeatGeek purchase. To get your $20 rebate on tickets, download the SeatGeek app, go to the Settings tab, and click Add a Promo Code. Enter promo code LOCLIPPERS, and SeatGeek will send you $20 after you've made your first ticket purchase. So go download the SeatGeek app and enter promo code LOCLIPPERS today. And if you do that, you'll be catching You know, probably the best game to catch would actually be this Saturday's game against the Utah Jazz, which is definitely, I would say, the biggest game in these 10 for the Clippers. The Clippers, as of right now, at the conclusion of Tuesday night's games, before Wednesday begins, are exactly one half of a game behind the Utah Jazz. They, both teams have 43 wins. The Jazz have 28 losses. The Clippers have 29. Now, today on Wednesday, the Jazz are hosting the New York Knicks, which is a likely win for Utah, pulling them a full game ahead. But what really matters is the loss column. The Clippers are one loss behind the Jazz. So if the Jazz go 7-3 in their, you know, after assuming they beat the Knicks, if the Jazz go 7-3, the Clippers have to go 8-2. And if the Clippers do that, they'll tie them. For the tie to matter, the Clippers have to win the game on Saturday so they can secure the tiebreaker. That's what makes Saturday a big game. And as friendly as the Clippers' schedule is coming up, Utah has a pretty friendly schedule too. So the Clippers visit Dallas on Thursday, which is a game they should win even though Dallas has been playing well lately. They play Utah on Saturday, and then after that, the final eight games of the season are pretty easy. They only play three playoff teams in that stretch: the Washington Wizards, San Antonio Spurs, and Houston Rockets. The Washington Wizards come to Santa Clarita on this... Santa Clarita is my hometown, the suburb of Los Angeles, but that, I don't think the Washington Wizards are going there. The Wizards are coming to Los Angeles on March 29th, on the second night of a back-to-back, and the Clippers will have had 2 days of rest before that game. The San Antonio Spurs, even though the game is in San Antonio, the Spurs will be on the second night of a back-to-back, and the Houston Rockets, coming to LA on April 10th, will be on the second night of a back-to-back. Now, another thing that's advantageous for the Clippers is those Spurs and Rockets games are two of the last three games of the season, and the Clippers actually should lose that game in San Antonio, because if San Antonio is still being competitive in the race for the one seed, which a lot will hinge on San Antonio's last head-to-head game against the Warriors, then the Clippers want to lose. They want San Antonio to get the one seed. So the Clippers shouldn't even send their guys to San Antonio, come play against Houston, and Houston, on the second night of a back-to-back, may very well be resting their guys, because Houston is essentially already right now locked into the three seed. They aren't climbing up to two, and they aren't dropping to four. So, yeah, there's not really a lot of games left on the schedule for the Clippers that stick out to you like, oh man, that's a rough one. The last game, I think, really was that game against the Cavaliers last weekend, and the Cavaliers rested their guys and they gave the Clippers a freebie. So it's looking pretty good for the Clippers. Here's the thing, though, it looks pretty good for the Kings too. Once the Kings get past Saturday's matchup against LA, they play the Wizards, just like the Clippers do, but they play, and then they play the Spurs, who are likely to be resting, and then they play the Spurs, or they play the Warriors and the Spurs in the last two games of the season, which could be interesting. If the Spurs and Warriors are both fighting for the number one seed in the closing days of the season, they might both try to beat Utah in those two games and the Spurs again at the beginning of April. But if the Spurs and Warriors, if that battle's already settled either way, then they're likely both to be resting in the last couple days of the season, which, if Utah is still fighting for the four seed, could give them a couple easy wins. I do think it's worth noting that when considering San Antonio's chances to catch the Golden State Warriors, San Antonio has, of course, the game left against the Clippers and two games left against the Jazz. And the Clippers and Jazz, as the teams in the 4-5 spot, have more incentive than anyone to help San Antonio get to first place. So that's almost like three of San Antonio's remaining 12 games should be freebies, because the Clippers and Jazz should be giving those games away to the Spurs in hopes that San Antonio will pass Golden State. But actually, and I don't want to get too much into this because it gets, kind of crazy, but I think it's going to be really interesting to see how a lot of these individual matchups involving the Spurs and Warriors go in the closing weeks of the season, because the Warriors have two games left against the Houston Rockets. Do the Houston Rockets want the Warriors to finish first or second? Because Houston could throw those games and give the Spurs freebies. Utah plays the Warriors, and obviously, you know, no one is going to say, like, oh yeah, we want to beat the Warriors, so we're definitely going to beat them tonight. But Utah might really go all out in that game if it means a better chance of bumping Golden State down to two and avoiding them in the second round. Golden State also plays Memphis. Memphis is likely to finish 6 or 7, which means that Memphis probably wants Golden State up at 1 to avoid them. So Memphis might lose that game on purpose. You go to San Antonio. San Antonio has to play Memphis twice and Oklahoma City. Again, those are the teams that are going to finish 6 and 7 that don't want Golden State to be in that 2 spot where they'd have to play them in the first or second round. So those teams might really gun for San Antonio in an attempt to drop them down to 2 seed. So it's going to be a really kind of crazy last couple of weeks to watch as far as those 2 seeding races that matter to the Clippers. The 4-5 with Utah, if the Clippers can catch up and get home court, and the 1-2 with San Antonio and Golden State, which is the prospective second round matchup for the Clippers if they get past the Jazz. The Clippers right now, I think, would be considered the favorites to get the 4 seed. I know Matt Moore at HP Basketball on Twitter, in an article on CBS Sports Today, published the sports line projections, and the Clippers were like a 60% chance to get the 4 seed. So that, you know, that's a pretty good sign. One thing that's worth watching, though, is there isn't much of a buffer between the Clippers and Jazz and the Thunder and Grizzlies. It's kind of easy to separate it into tiers. Like, yeah, the Clippers and Jazz are going to be 4-5. The Thunder and Grizzlies are going to be 6-7. But it's not definitive yet. There's still, you know, some mobility in the standings there. And so you could even potentially end up in with like a 4-way tie or with any of these. You know, Memphis might have a hard time climbing all the way up to 4 just because they're 3 losses behind the Jazz. But the Clippers could end up in a 4-5 with any of these 3 teams, or they could end up in a tie. And then, you know, I'd have to, honestly, I don't know how 4-way tiebreakers work off the top of my head, but the Clippers could end up anywhere. So the most important thing for them, I think, is to just take care of business, get the 4 seed, and hopefully Utah ends up at 5, and hopefully San Antonio ends up at 1. But like I've been saying for the last couple weeks, the biggest thing for the Clippers is to start playing good basketball. And let the table end up how it ends up. Play who you end up matched up against, but play good basketball. Be in good rhythm. Be healthy. And they're starting to do that. Now, none of their 3 wins are particularly impressive wins because Cleveland rested guys, the Knicks suck, and the Lakers suck, yeah. But they're wins. And, the Clippers had been struggling so much since the All-Star break that getting 3 big blowout wins in a row, I don't know when the last time was the Clippers won 3 blowout games in a row. I know they had that winning streak before the All-Star break, but that wasn't blowouts. They had that winning streak at the beginning of January, but I don't think there were blowouts there. So they probably haven't won 3 straight blowouts since during part of that 14-2 start. If they even got it then, maybe they never had 3 straight blowouts. But yeah, J.J. Redick said he actually did a terrific interview with one of my writers at Clips Nation, Davey Bales, that came out on Sunday. And J.J. Redick said that, in a sense, winning cures all illnesses. It lifts your spirit and you start playing better when you start getting wins. So, you know, we kind of saw that the Clippers didn't play great against the Cavs, and they played better but still not great against the Knicks, and then it looked like they actually played pretty well against the Lakers as they dismantled each of those 3 teams. So it's a type of deal where maybe getting 3 wins against bad teams are what the Clippers needed to just get their groove back. sometimes you need to do something, you know, if you're ever in like a rut, you're trying to do like work on a difficult project and you can't get it, sometimes you need to just go do something easy to just get the juices flowing, and then you can go back and attack that more difficult problem. Well, that's kind of what the Clippers did. Against even, you know, average teams, not good teams, but average teams like Milwaukee and Denver, the Clippers really struggled. Teams like Minnesota, the Clippers really struggled. But now that they have played these kind of like bottom-of-the-barrel teams, Knicks, Lakers, and Cavaliers resting guys, they were able to get those juices flowing, and now we'll be able to see, can they build something against Dallas, which is more what you'd consider an average-level team, not a bad team. Can they build something against Dallas if they don't rest their guys there? And I don't think they should rest their guys because the momentum is good right now. So I would like to see everyone playing in this game. And then against Utah, against a good team, can they keep it going? And maybe they rest against Sacramento on the second night of back-to-back. Maybe they don't send their guys to Phoenix or San Antonio in the next couple of weeks. But when they play, can they keep building and keep the juices flowing and keep rolling teams? Because they pretty much play teams that they should roll the rest of the way. And can they get that good feeling and that good spirit going in the playoffs? I think that's going to be a huge deciding factor. So here are some games to watch on Wednesday. It's actually a lot of Eastern Conference teams in action on Wednesday, but look for just games that matter to the Clippers, not necessarily games that are going to be fun to watch. But Philadelphia visits Oklahoma City. Should be a win for the Thunder, but any loss from Oklahoma City or Memphis is good for the Clippers because it insulates that 4-5 pairing against the Jazz, which the Clippers want. They want the Jazz in the first round. And the Knicks visit the Jazz, which the Jazz will probably win, but you're still at a point where you'd like Utah to lose because the Clippers are trying to get home court advantage, but you don't want them to start losing too much because you don't want them to fall, you know, and end up having to play Memphis in the first round, which would be kind of sucky. And then there's not too much going on in the race for the 8th seed in the Western Conference. Denver's in action, but the teams that they're racing with, Portland and Dallas, aren't. Denver actually, everyone has been saying for a while they have the upper hand in the race for the 8th seed because they've been in the 8th seed for so long. But if you look at their schedule, they've got some brutal games closing out. I don't think they're going to be able to hold on. I think it's going to be either Portland or Dallas in the 8th seed. And that's not especially relevant to the Clippers, but, you know, it's fun to watch for. So the Clippers play again, I mentioned, Thursday against the Dallas Mavericks. So we'll talk more about that Dallas game and this Dallas team and Dallas's push for the 8th seed in tomorrow's episode of the Locked On Clippers podcast. And then we'll get into some reader questions, because I know you guys have been sending me stuff, and I hope you continue to send me stuff after you hear this episode. And maybe we'll look a little bit more at the upcoming schedules for Golden State and San Antonio to kind of see who we think is going to end up as the one seed in the Western Conference. If you have any questions or comments, as always, you can tweet me at Lucas J. Han. I did try to post updates on Twitter when I had to cancel these last few episodes. So, you know, maybe if you use Twitter, it doesn't hurt to check there if you see an episode not missing, or follow me so you can see the tweet. You can always email me with questions if you don't use Twitter, lhan.clipsnation@gmail.com. Just to chat Clippers, follow at ClipsNationSBN on Twitter, go to the ClipsNation.com blog and read the articles and go participate in the comments, and follow ClipsNation on Facebook. Just type ClipsNation in the Facebook search bar. Thanks for listening, guys. We'll be back tomorrow with a new episode. This is Lucas Tan signing off for Locked On Clippers.